just coming to be. That's the kind of God we serve, amen? I mean, let there be light, and there was light, you know. Let there be the moon and the stars and all these different things, the sun, and it's just so amazing, and my heart was just so overwhelmed by who God is, amen? And then we started talking about provider and protector and all these just amazing things, and it just touched my soul so much. I was just like, oh my gosh, sometimes, you know, we don't even look at the trees or look at the flowers, or we fail to see certain things just because we don't look up or we don't see what's going on around us. We're not aware, amen? And that just blows my mind when I think about the kind of God we serve, amen? And just knowing the kind of God we serve, we want to be imitators of him, amen? Although we're not powerful and we're not mighty and I can't speak something into existence, but you know what I can do? I can have the faith to believe it, amen? Because I have the faith in the one true God, amen? And I want to reflect him. I want to reflect his ways, his love, his mercy, his grace. Amen. I want to continue to have faith in him, and I want to show that faith to others as to who I believe. This morning's message is entitled Reflections of the Heart. Reflections of the Heart. It sounds a little light. Amen. Something kind of good, you know, something for us to reflect on, to look at. But reflections of the heart, and it's found in Proverbs 27:19. But a little introduction here. In our lives, there are many times we encounter one another. Amen? We encounter so many people. I mean, if you ride the bus system or the transit or anything, you run into a lot of different people. Amen? Even just going into the supermarket, you see so many different people, so many different faces. And though we may be strangers, it seems as though we never cease to notice the nonverbal expressions on our faces. Do you ever notice that? Or do you care to see that in others? But some of us at times look downcast, tired, stressed, angry, and sad. Yet there are other times in which we are happy and carefree and awake and alive. Amen. It's a wonderful feeling. Because to be downcast and sad and all these things is nowhere in comparison to feeling awake and carefree and alive. So as we notice one another, we sometimes reflect back as to what we see. For example, if someone is happy, we may reflect a smile back. Amen? So who's smiling at me? Okay, she's smiling. Who's not smiling at me? So we sometimes reflect back what we see from others. Although if someone is expressing the opposite of happiness, we might merely look away or avoid such a person. You ever get that? You know, that happens every once in a while. And sometimes there's such thing called transference. And that's kind of what we're doing, is we're kind of transferring on one another. So if you're smiling and you're happy and you're carefree and you're positive, it's like most likely others around you are going to be happy and carefree and positive, amen? But when you're not, that same, you know, transference might occur. So sometimes as Christians, you know, we see people like that and we're kind of like, well, that person might be having a bad day. I'm going to kind of avoid them or just not say anything at all. But at times we may even engage another with attitudes and words. Know how fruitful that might be, but sometimes that happens. But has that not been your experience? Have you all experienced that in your life? Just that simple interaction with others, that reflection, peace. Yet is it not what we have in our heart which determines the appearance of our face and how we live our lives? That's the big question today. Is it not what we have in our heart which determines the appearance of our face and how we live our lives? And again, when we talk about the heart in the Bible, most of the time it's talking about our mind is what it is. Because what can you put in your heart that's not already there, right? As far as literally, you know, there's blood pumping, there's arteries, there's all these amazing things that help us live. And we don't even have to think about it. It just happens, right? But when we think about what we put in our minds is the big question. And like I said, our mind can be considered our heart. So again, let me repeat it. Is it not what we have in our heart which determines the appearance of our face and how we live our lives? So please open your Bibles to Proverbs 27:19. And if you are able, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Is everyone there? Amen. Proverbs 27:19 states, "As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart." Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace, Lord. Father, I ask that you would prick our hearts, Lord God, and our minds, Lord, that you would open our ears to hear, Lord, for your servants are listening. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. This is somewhat of an interesting thing. But how many of you ever been hiking before? Yeah, a nice long hike. How many of you have ever come to a body of water that is there in your midst? Or if not, if we're street folk, you know, if we're like out in the streets, I remember playing in the streets when I was a kid with water, you know, you go and you start to jump in the water and splash but you do all these little things here and there. But when one looks at a calm, still body of water, one sees their reflection. Amen. There's a reflection there. And their reflection is similar to that of looking into a mirror. And what one sees and it is an image of their physical, tangible self. A mere human with all its various flaws created in the image of God. And as we journey through life, our appearance changes from year to year. And as our outer tents take upon the various storms of life, as well as days filled with beauty and sunlight, that is something to ponder. Amen. I mean, if you look into the reflection of a body of water when you're about 5 years old and you see that reflection, it's going to look very different when you're like 21 and then into your 40s and then into your 60s. And then if God allows you to have that extended period of time of life, there's something different that you see. Amen? You don't simply just see that person, but you see that there's something inside that person. So as a water reflects one's face, so one's heart reflects one's life. So in other words, what we have in our heart is going to reflect who we truly are and how we live. Amen? So the water is a simple reflection of the tangible, but when we look and see what's in our heart, it does affect the way in which we live our lives. Yet it has been said that the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17:19. Who could understand it but God? Amen. Because we're pretty messed up people. I know I am. And I know my heart is deceitful. My mind is not always focused on the things of God as it should be. But I would like it to be. Amen. But before we were Christians, the heart we had did not represent who we are in Christ. For we did not belong to Christ. And in Mark 7:21-23, Jesus said, "For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside a defiled person." A defiled person. So before we knew Christ, this was us. This was me. Yet how did these things come into the heart of man? How did they come inside of us? Theologically, they came by way of Adam, right? Since Adam and Eve were the first to sin, all of the human race after them has continued to sin and has been corrupt and remains corrupt. Therefore, the reflection of the heart in this condition is dependent upon self. You see, without Christ, we're dependent upon self. We're dependent upon my own worldview. I'm dependent upon what I've learned from my parents. I'm dependent upon what I've learned from CNN and from some people out there in the world, right? Because I don't have true direction. What I'm putting in my mind is not of God, but because before I was a Christian, that was what was coming into my mind, right? The teachings and the doctrines of man without a God, that was what was infiltrating my mind. Amen? So we were dependent upon ourselves. It is as though there wasn't a Bible around, and we were just listening to people's philosophies and how they think, how things came to be, and where we go when we live, and where we come from when we live, and when we die, where we go to. All those things was dependent upon self. And it's dependent upon what I think is right and wrong. You know, we're in that era, that postmodern era, where is if it's right for me, it's right for you. If it's right for you, it's right for you. There is no truth. Right? That's what the postmodernist says. But for the Christian, we know there is truth. Amen? That's the living word of God. But without God, people think that what they think is right and wrong is true. But it's dependent upon my perspective and my upbringing. It's dependent upon how I feel from day to day, you see? Therefore, the reflection of my heart as a non-Christian is based upon me, on myself. And as the saying goes, what you see is what you get. That's what some of the atheists believe. But however, a person who recognizes that their heart is deceitful and then chooses to surrender to the one who is pure and holy, which is Jesus Christ, that person will reflect the character of Jesus Christ. Amen? Or they should. For it is Jesus who lives in our heart and in their heart and in the heart of those who believe in him. Amen? That's quite a contrast. If Jesus lives in our heart, then we should be producing what is called the fruit of the Spirit. And we've been kind of talking about the fruit of the Spirit here, and you can never get enough of the fruit of the Spirit because it's a practice that we need to have in our lives daily. For when we first received Jesus into our hearts, we obtained all of God. Amen. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yet as of right now, the Holy Spirit is with us. For Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, the Father. And now, I don't know if you all remember, but in John 14, 16, 17, 16 through 17, Jesus said, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. The Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. Amen. Therefore, if he is in you, or should I say in us, and dwells within our heart, then our faces and attitude should reflect love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. All those things. Amen. If God is in us. Luke 6:43-45a records Jesus saying, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. Amen. And in fact, we're learning that in Wednesday night Bible study. So therefore, our appearance and attitude of our character is a reflection of what is in our hearts. Amen. But it is all for the honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For we may be the only Jesus that some will ever see. Right, there's this old preacher who says the horizon runs, the river runs from horizon to horizon. In other words, you can't see where the river begins and you can't see where it ends. But he says if that river were people, the people that we encounter, the people that we touch in our lives, we don't know who they might be. They might be the next Billy Graham, the next Martin Luther King. They might be someone of great importance. Amen. So it's important that we understand who we are in Christ. Amen. Because we might be the only Jesus that some will ever see. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. And this proverb is intended to help us understand others as well as ourselves. And as Christians, if we know thyself, then we should reflect the love, the hope, and the joy that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others that we encounter in our lives. And what we have within us should not be hoarded nor isolated, but should be shared. Amen. So when we get this word of God, we should be sharing the word of God. We should be sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We should be sharing things that help people in life. Amen. We shouldn't go around and come to church just to get a bunch of knowledge and wisdom inside of us and then bottle it up and not share it with anyone. What good is that? Do we want to see people fail? Do we not want to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ? Do we not want to share wisdom and knowledge from above? Oswald Chambers observed that when you meet a man or woman who puts Jesus Christ first, knit that one to your soul. In other words, attach yourself to that person. Amen? Someone who's putting Jesus Christ first. And I think sometimes when we see that, some people might think that is quite rare. I mean, who do you know in your own life that you would say, man, I love that brother. I love that sister. I mean, when I see them, they're just so full of joy and so full of wisdom. I just kind of want to be hanging around them all the time. I just want to like knit them close to me. I want them to be part of me. I want to kind of be like them. Right? Because they're like Jesus. But how many of you, by a show of hands, have someone in your life like that right now? Amen. Praise God. There's a lot of you. Amen. If you don't, then you need to get close to that someone. Amen. However, one would never know that we are Christians unless it is shown through our attitude and our character and the way we live our lives. Amen. Who would know? Who would know that you're a Christian if you don't do those things, if it's not showing? For who are we and claim to be is a reflection of who we believe in. Amen. So there should be an emittance. There should be something that's radiating from us that shows that we're Christians, that we're different. Amen. Therefore, I challenge you, as well as myself, to be individuals whose lives reflect being a Christian at all times. Being a Christian at all times. I mean, I don't, these are kind of just maybe like words that are thrown in the air, but I don't know if they're like bouncing off of you, you know, like here I'm speaking and it's like boing, boom. Right? But I'm challenging you and myself to be individuals whose lives reflect being a Christian at all times. Now that's a huge feat, amen? You see, water may reflect our face, but we can be wearing a mask. You see? Water may reflect our face, but it may not be as vibrant as it once was before. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Water may reflect our face, but what one observes only tells part of one's life story. Amen. Now these things should be making you think. However, life that reflects the heart of a Christian will be evident in all the areas of one's life. And in some people, what they call that is to be Christocentric. Christocentric. I have a Christ-centered life. A Christ-centered life, to be Christocentric. It will be evident in one's speech, attitude, finances, goals and aspirations, investments, careers, politics, opinions of others, and most of all, what is done in the dark or behind closed doors. You see? A reflection. Therefore, in conclusion, let us be a people who reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us be ambassadors and represent the one who is pure and holy. And let us be recognized as those who love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, as well as to love our neighbors as ourselves. So whether we are in the checkout line at the supermarket or sitting in the midst of others on a public transportation or living with those we love within our own homes or have the opportunity to share our life and testimony with others, we must be a reflection of Jesus Christ in character, deed, and in appearance. Amen. Amen. Now that sounds a little light when we read that scripture. Amen. Proverbs 27:19. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. But it is so deep, my brothers and sisters, so deep. You see, we're living in a society where it's no longer, let me give you a track and tell you about Jesus Christ. It's no longer that way. It's like, show me how you live. Show me how you treat others. Show me where your money is. Show me how you conduct yourselves when things get hot and under fire. Show me how you communicate with people. Show me that empathy and love. Show me these things. Show me, and maybe I'll believe in your God. That's what people want to see. They want to see the real deal, amen? They don't want to just hear you with your words. They don't want to see you with your fancy clothes and looking all churchy and all these things. They want to see a real person, amen? Where is the real you, amen? There was a guy who went in to go visit this person, and this person was in the hospital, and he had a thing with this person. It wasn't a very good relationship that they had. And this guy, he was there and he was sitting down, and this other guy was a minister, but he was trying to kind of avoid him, but he was trying to do his job as well. But he grew this big beard, this humongous beard, and he went into the to go visit the guy, and he went to go see him and just visit with him and pray with him. And he said, "Is that you? Are you hiding behind that beard?" You know? But it's just amazing how we put up these fronts. Amen. We put up these fronts. But brothers and sisters, we are, how should I say, wonderfully ordinary people. An oxymoron, right? But we are something great because we're created in the image of God. But we are no different from others. Amen. But what is different about us is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that makes all the difference in the world, because we have a message for those out there. Amen. And if we're not living that life, then people might think, "I'm not sure if I want to believe in your Jesus." Because when things get heated, you act very different. When your wife or all the church folks ain't around, you act really different. What you do in the dark, who knows? But what you've told me doesn't sound right. You see, God wants us to be the light that shines in a dark place. Amen. He wants us to give what he has given to us, and that is the gift of life in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I challenge you today to live that life. Live the Christian life in all the areas of your life. Are you with me? Amen? Amen? Praise God. But you know what? I challenge you to do that. And I know last time I gave you a big challenge, it was like for a whole week. It's like, what? But let me just challenge you. Let me just challenge you sometime today, and not when you're sleeping, but when you're awake, for at least 5 hours, I want you to conduct yourself in all the ways of Christ. I want you to reflect. And like I said, in your home, that might be the toughest, right? But out there in the highways and byways, in your encounter with the people in the restaurants or at the park or wherever you plan on going today. Maybe I gave away where I was going today. But anyway, you know, in all those different places, see if you can live that Christ-centered life, because it's going to be a reflection and a testimony to those you encounter today and for the rest of our lives. Amen? Amen. If I could please have the counselors come up for prayer. Now today, if you feel like you need to rededicate your life back to God, if you need to say, "You know what? I haven't been reflecting Christ at all in my life. I've been in a dry spot. I've been walking in the valley, or I've been sick, or I've been just hating people. I need help. I need help to walk this Christian life." I'm asking you today, brothers and sisters, if the Spirit of God is touching your heart, I pray that you would come up. I pray that you would ask someone for prayer to help you today. Amen. Don't let these words go void in your life.